Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Great score to the movies.
Great score.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Adam Williams.
What does he have? 4,000 Oscars? Is that what it is? I think that's the actual
that's
total.
Good.
Yeah.
I was playing golf one day at the... I was playing as a guest at the club that John Williams belongs to, and I'm sitting there having lunch beforehand, and the guy I'm playing with kind of gives me a little elbow. He goes, kind of look over there. And I'm looking, and I see this guy. I'm like, that guy looks really familiar. Who is it? He goes, that's John Williams. I'm like, oh, snap. It was, yeah, that's pretty big deal.
Most people, they see John Williams. Would they know him?
50-50, I think, because he's got a very distinct look. He's got a big white beard and long white hair.
The reason why I ask is like, that's also a good spot to be in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where not everybody is coming up to you.
And you're rich and famous and have a bunch of Oscars along the way. Bonus asks Slee. Yo, Slee, where are you on the ketchup application? Off to the side in a separate receptacle or just drizzle it all over the fries?
I go to the side.
I like to control
how much is in there. Because listen, you put it all over the place. You got one fry that has way too much, the other fry that's got nothing. Then I'm taking the fry that has nothing, I'm dipping it in anyways. You know, so I like going on the side there.
I'm a side guy myself. Yeah. Emily, don't you have a little cup pouch thing that you had for the car?
My sister. I gave it to my sister for her birthday. Yeah. But
What's it called?
I don't know. I think it's like you just clip it into the air vent.
Sure.
And you put like the sauce in there.
But wouldn't your whole car smell like barbecue sauce if the air's on?
Well, you don't always have
it's like an air freshener. sweet and sour from
she
McDonald's.
She leaves the sauce in there just for like a week. You never know when you need it.
Won't go bad. I can tell you that. All right. Dodgers. They swept the Braves over the weekend. It was actually a really interesting series, I thought. I thought two of the three games were fascinating. The one on Saturday, the Dodgers just smashed them. They scored 11 runs, and it was a runaway. That's going to happen occasionally. They got a little lucky on Friday night to win the game the way that they did. That Shohei ties it up late with just a ground ball single to just found the right hole.
Yeah,
run comes in.
This is in the 10th.
Yep.
Atlanta scored their run in the top of the 10th.
And then they went in the 11th where Pajas gets a base hit. And then, but it was that's a game that if they played that game 10 times, they each win 5. It was a nip-tuck game the whole way.
And Pajas was swinging at everything, dude.
I still don't think he's walked yet.
Jeez.
Like, not a single – I don't think he has one single walk since coming up, but he's got a bunch of hits. And then yesterday – was a really good game. The score wasn't super close, but Ohtani hits a pair. They have the best guy on the field. He wins the game for them, and they pitch like crazy, and they get away done. The sweep is nice. It's nice to sweep a really good team, but I don't know, Al, how much it informs, like, oh, the Dodgers are better than the Braves. I still think they're about the same. That Acuna is ice cold. That's not going to last long. They still pitch like crazy. It still feels like the Dodgers and Braves are 1-1A.
Could be 1-1A, but listen, anytime you sweep a team that's that good, and like you talked, you ignored Saturday because it was such a blowout.
They killed them.
So give the, you know, obviously the Dodgers a lot of credit there. I think some of the storylines over the weekend as well. Glasnow as well, again, looks great. Look at the Muncy has a night where he has 3 home runs.
We're going to get to that.
Shohei has a weekend where a lot of people, I think, Monday morning are, you know, wherever you work at, you're spending a quick second say, did you see Shohei over the weekend? Did you see Shohei Ohtani, what he did, how he did it? It could be the 10th inning base hit, like you said, to tie up the game. It could be the home run that he had and what he just hit, just his average over the entire weekend, but the home run he had on Saturday. The 2 home runs he hit on Sunday. I get it. There's 162 games played, but it's also okay if you're a Dodger fan to face a team of that caliber in May and be excited about what those 3 days look like.
But
here's the thing. I get the hesitation. Like, I feel like with you...
It's not even hesitation. It's just it's 3 games in the middle of the season.
But that's my point. My point is that you have a reason to say, Al, I've seen this before. I've seen them win 100-plus games. I've seen them dominate the division. I've seen all that. You know what I haven't seen? I haven't seen them win a World Series in a 162-game mm-hmm. season. And I get for you to have that, but I think the only thing you could do in the regular season is sometimes you have some barometers or, hey, I wonder how we look against the other sure. best team in the NL, and they looked great, I thought.
They did, and had they gotten swept by them, I think I'd still be in the same spot. It's like they're really good. The Braves are really good. It just was the Dodgers' weekend to get it done. I want to go back to that, the Ohtani home run. I don't know how many Dodger games I've been to or how many I've watched in the thousands. Where Ohtani hit that ball, his second home run yesterday, 464 feet into just to the left field side of the batter's eye, that black tarp that they hang so guys can see. The threshold for a deep home run at Dodger Stadium is that second tier of the pavilion, right? Like, if you get it in the first tier, home run, nice. If you get into that second tier, it is an absolute
smashing it.
Rocket. You don't see balls into that second tier very often. There might be one a week up there. That just doesn't happen. I don't know if I've ever seen it before. I have never seen a left-hand hitter go second tier at Dodger Stadium into left field. Into the right, you pull it and you hit it. Sure, occasionally you're going to hit one that hard. Slee, that was almost
going
dead
with
center
the pitch,
opposite.
Yep.
It was the sound it made, the way that it carried, it was just a freak show how far he hit that baseball.
Am I being too dramatic on this? Am I being too dramatic on the piece of, you know, we were talking about this, that Shohei's been great. Shohei, his batting average.
Leads baseball in home runs.
Tied now for most home runs in Major League Baseball. He's getting hits left and right. He's getting extra base hits.
Mm-hmm. He's stealing bases.
What we kind of stopped at and what we hesitated at was we haven't seen Shohei money on the line, you know, a couple guys, just his what he was batting with runners in scoring position. I do feel like this weekend was a Shohei moment because I think it was impossible this weekend, even if you didn't watch any of the games, to be on social and not see highlights from Shohei Ohtani, which reminded me of when Shohei was with the Angels, right? Every time Shohei would do something, it's like, hey, he dominated social because he pulled a home run that went up to the upper deck, or he pitched, gave up one hit, and in the second of a back-to-back on the same day, a doubleheader, he hits two home runs. He had, like, stupid moments like that. Shohei had himself a weekend.
Yeah, he did.
You know what I mean? That this was
right.
And it was against the Braves, and he even talked about how he felt like the atmosphere was
just
different.
It's different. Watch tonight. It's going to feel like an exhibition game.
Miami.
It's going to feel like a spring training game where you're getting a pitcher back and Walker Buehler is making his debut for this season. First time he's going to pitch in a big league game in a couple of years against a dreadful Miami team. They stink. And the energy will be representative of that, where you just kind of, let's see how many innings he goes. What does it look like? How many pitches did he throw? How many runs did he give? It's not going to be it is a big deal. The three over the weekend against the Braves felt like a big deal.
Felt like a big deal, and tonight will be, you're right, it's going to be a Monday. They're playing good baseball. They're playing a really bad team. It's going to be completely different.
Buehler is the interesting part about tonight. Buehler hasn't pitched in 2 years.
Damn.
Buehler,
2 years.
Before he got hurt, mm-hmm. he's one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Yep.
Not just one of the best pitchers on the Dodgers. He
high leverage, too.
Cy Young, and yes, mm-hmm. exactly that. The guy that, if you shot Dave Roberts with truth serum and said, listen, you got to go win tonight. Everything's on the line. Who do you want? Everybody's healthy. Who do you want?
Buehler.
Mm-hmm. It's not Kershaw. It wasn't Julio. It was Buehler. He was the guy. Give me him. He showed up time after time. That World Series in the pandemic, he was lights out. The season before, lights out.
You even say that World Series during the pandemic was, there was this, hey, if it goes seven,
we're okay.
Buehler's waiting.
We're okay. Mm-hmm. Like even when Kevin Cash gifted us the World Series by taking Blake Snell out of that game, despite giving up one hit.
Unbelievable.
Analytics are awesome. All right, let's do this right now.
Dude, I know where you're going.
Max Muncy hit three home runs on Saturday. Max Muncy's never hit three home runs in a game. Max Muncy's got a lot of pop. He's had two-run home run games. He's had grand slams. Max Muncy is a power hitter. But he never had a three-home run game. And he had one, and he's feeling it. Baseball's about rhythm. Baseball's about confidence. Baseball's about, hey, you're hot. Just stay hot for as long as you can because you're not going to be hot again eventually. It happens to everybody. Ah, no, left-hander next day. Sit down. What the hell?
Is every team in baseball doing that?
Yeah, but I don't care. That he hit three home runs yesterday. I know Max Fried's filthy. I know he's left-handed. I know that Muncy struggles against left-handed. Who blanking cares? He had three. Let it ride. So he goes 0 for 4 with three strikeouts. All right.
And you know maybe the math works later on, but try and see maybe if we ride the rhythm of it.
But this is what you just said about every team in baseball would still do that. That's where, and listen, I get it. These guys are getting paid a certain amount of money but can't we just sometimes take analytics and take common sense and find a middle ground?
Just
find a middle ground there.
Baseball is not a math equation to get solved. Okay, my algorithm's better than yours.
But isn't it now?
Yes, and that's why it's not nearly as much fun as it used to be. It can have great moments, but this is my fear that something this glaring happens in a short window.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden it's like, well, he doesn't hit this guy that's pitching tomorrow. Yeah, but he had three doubles last night. We're going to take him out of the line. Well, you know, it says, what the hell are we doing? At some point, isn't it just, hey, that guy's screaming hot. Let's just let it go until he's not.
It's the equivalent. Let's just flip this for a quick second. Have somebody on the mound, and here's a guy with 10 strikeouts through 5 innings, but because they want a righty-righty matchup or something like that, you're taking the guy out. It's like, well, why would you do that? I'll tell the story because I always think it's pretty funny. Lakers are playing the Warriors in a game, and I'm listening to John and Michael on the call. And this is something that they always talk about that frustrates them. Klay Thompson starts the game hot. This was just recently. Klay, I don't know, he's like 5 of 6, 6 of 7 from the field. And for the Warriors, if Klay's going, that changes everything.
Forget it.
And John is like, oh, I've seen this. I know you have Michael as well. Klay's having one of those nights. And then Michael says, don't worry, Laker fans. Steve Kerr will take him out. And then there you go. Steve Kerr takes him out. Why'd he take him out? Because it hit a certain minute restricts this, that. It had nothing to do with what was actually happening in the game. That makes me think of Muncy, right? That this had nothing to do. The man is bad. For his own rhythm, do you want him to have a day off and then try to figure it out again on Monday? Let the man, let him roll.
Baseball is all about who's hot, about who's on a heater, right? It doesn't make any sense.
Player, team, pitcher, doesn't matter. Whoever's hot, go.
Let it go. Let it go.
Could go for 2 weeks and a month in Arizona could end up in a World Series.
Hey, you know, he's in a bad spot. He's really struggling against left-handers. He struck out, you know, a couple of times the night before. Maybe had some soft. Yeah, let's sit him down. Let's give him a better chance against a better guy. Three home runs? I know they won the game anyway. I know it didn't really, but it was that.
I get it.
Oh, that's right. They still do this. Right. I know they have better players than everybody, but they still are going to do that. Three home runs. You sit down for the day. Scheduled off day. Who cares? It's May.
Who cares? That's a good point.
It's May. He's not tired. He's, what is Max Muncy, 28, 29 years old? Who cares? Run him out there. He'll be fine. He went 0 for 4. He struck out 4 times. Who cares? Shohei's going to hit a couple anyway. We're going to find a way to get it done. Time to make your vote count for the biggest night of the year in ESPN LA. It is the Mandy's. Mandy's 3. Go to ESPNLA.com and click on the Mandy's 3 voting page logo presented by the law offices of Joseph S. Normand. Injury attorneys you can trust. 213-747-2000. Vote now at ESPNLA.com. Here's who you vote for in order. I've decided you vote for Emily first. You vote for Emily again. Then maybe you can toss one my way. That's fine if you want to. Jorge's already got a banister full of them. And Slee's the reigning host of the year, so you can skip both of them.
Skip them.
Vote for Emily.
4.
Thanks.
Like a 4.
You have 4?
Well, one of them was...
Well, he's got the show.
Show of the year. Yeah. I got the associate twice.
Yeah.
And then event of the year, which I didn't, you know, get one, but I take credit for that
you
one.
You should take credit for it.
Exactly. You know when on a movie set or like on a movie, the producers maybe accept the best picture,
right.
But everyone gets an Oscar.
Everybody gets it. Everybody gets it. Except for Slee. He already
has
one.
Well, I don't have one.
No, I'm saying we get one, you get ownership of that.
You got Man
of Slee doesn't.
People.
That's fine. I liked it. It's cool.
Yeah, it's
cool. It's good. I like it.
Pretty good award.
I'd like to win it again, but I would like to campaign on her behalf and mostly campaign against the two of you.
Sure.
That's my number one thing. So Buehler on the mound tonight. What are our expectations for 2 years off and 2 arm reconstructions? That's next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple.
Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
The song works.
This is the
August Moon.
Yeah. This sounds like every other boy band.
It sounds a lot like One Direction. And it's supposed to be One Direction, technically, but I don't know. If this came on my like Discover Weekly, I would be saving it and I'd be listening to it.
So if you're watching us on YouTube, A, good job. B, if you're not, you should turn it on. But if you are watching on YouTube and you don't want to know the answer to this question, close your eyes, because Emily, I just want a thumbs up or thumbs down, okay? Do they end up together?
I didn't finish the movie.
Oh, okay. All right.
Hey.
Okay. Thank you, Jorge.
Yeah.
You had put in some cinematic time this weekend.
Whoa, I mean, I'm on this side working and Brenda's on the other side with the kid.
Oh, okay.
So she'll watch stuff and I'm...
You're watching with one eye?
Mm-hmm.
Did you like...
You guys were all at the theater, huh?
Yeah. Well, no, this one's at home, the Amazon. Is it Amazon?
Amazon,
yeah. Yeah, Amazon.
Did you like Fall Guy?
Fall Guy was pretty... it's cool. It's one of those that can go straight to Netflix and you can watch it on your own. It's fun. It's
no
a fun
one's
movie.
No killing it saying it's awful. No,
it's getting good reviews. It is a solid, fun movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's not something... It doesn't take itself too seriously. It's a quote-unquote love letter to stunt performers. And so I think that the stunts are really cool.
They are.
But yeah, you don't have to rush there, but it's solid.
I like those scenes where it's like neon lights and it's all like, it's pretty cool, glow in the dark kind of stuff.
So the media event of the weekend, as it turns out, was the Tom Brady roast. Like, all of a sudden, if you're staring at your phone, you start getting these, are you watching this kind of stuff? And those things can go a couple of different ways. They can be really, really fun and nasty, or super boring, and this was the first category. Here's Bill Belichick roasting last night.
Gronk, I've been watching you on Fox NFL Sunday, and I'm begging you, please, stop doing your job. Do another job. Do somebody else's job.
And you know he has that famous saying of, like, do your job. The Bill Belichick thing is, like, say, do your job over
That's
and over
good.
Again. He sets that up being like, you know, I'm a guy who's known for this phrase of, you know, do your job. Hey, Gronk. And then he said that.
Especially guys like that who are in some of these roasts, and they're not comedians. They're not, especially him specifically, right? More dry sense of humor, whatever it is.
Or no sense of humor.
Yeah. Anytime you get something like that, like his punchline is going to hit a lot different than some of these others. You're expecting it from the comedians.
A lot of the stuff that was the best stuff we can't play on ESPN. So go to YouTube and find what you want to find.
Anything about Tom Brady you wanted them to get into, they got into.
Aaron Hernandez, they got into. His divorce, they got
Bridget
into.
Richard Moynihan.
Him just being a super strange, bizarre guy, they got into. Like, it was really, really good. And I thought Kevin Hart was very funny.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Kim Kardashian was pretty funny,
frankly. Okay, guys. So I don't know if you guys saw this. She gets up on stage, does not even say a single thing, and she's getting booed off the stage.
Yeah.
Like, okay. We all have our thoughts about Kim Kardashian, but not enough to boo her off the stage.
It's like Roger Goodell.
Nothing. Little rough.
Just gets right up there with the number 7 pick of the NFL draft.
Emily, help. What's the name of the guy that just went around the room and just like bang, bang, bang?
I'm going to pull it up.
He was the highlight for me because he. Go ahead.
Tony Hinchcliffe.
How long was he on stage for? 2 or 3 minutes?
It's like probably 5 minutes. It totally did cut a little bit of the thing that I showed you, but
it's just an annihilation of everybody on the dais. It's just one after the next, just cutting these people off. At the
I got to watch
it's
him.
Unreal.
I've seen a few of them. I've seen a couple of the comedians. I saw Nikki Glaser, who we
she
all know.
She was great.
Comedian. That's what she does.
I love her.
That's what does for a freaking living. But I got to watch your guy.
Drew Bledsoe was funny.
He was hilarious, yeah.
Okay, my favorite joke from Drew Bledsoe, I'll steal it from him, and it's an appropriate joke to be aired on ESPN. He says, so he's the whole time that he's roasting Tom, he's basically like, been like, you know, you took my team that I built, like, give me another ring. And so he says, Tom, I have one thing that you'll never experience.
Oh,
and
two
I experienced my 28th wedding anniversary this past week. And
he went first in the draft.
Yeah, and being first in the draft. I think that my favorite... I really liked Julian Edelman's little monologue. So if you want to play
it, Julian Edelman?
Let's get it.
Who's laughing now, Tom? Not you, because your face can't move and you don't have a sense of humor.
He just went in on Tom and about it. Again, he's someone who knows Tom incredibly well, and I just loved it.
I'm very pro you have a weird facelift joke. I like that, because that's one of those things that only a good friend can be like, if I showed up to work with a facelift, you guys would have to say something.
Well, it's like the guy with
the whitening of the teeth, or whatever. You have to say something. It's like, we're going to talk about what you did to your face,
how
right,
your
Trav?
Your forehead doesn't move anymore.
Right, right. You can't not pretend to see it. Yeah. So I like that Julian Edelman went there.
Go ahead, Emma.
I think, though, if anyone tries to tell me that Tom Brady was actually good, I'm not believing you, because he sucked. He was so reading off of the prompter, again, of like jokes other people wrote for him, but I'm sure other people had jokes written for him.
I'll be honest. I did not see the whole thing live. Okay. I've seen a lot of highlights from it. I thought he was mediocre.
Okay.
I didn't think he was as bad as Emily does, but I did not think he was good.
Mediocre for Tom Brady, I would be like, okay, that's probably actually a good day for him. I wouldn't be expecting much from
to
him.
To be fair, I may have still been in shock from Bob Kraft's performance.
True.
He was, okay. One more thing about Tom Brady. I'm sorry. Whoa. Before you go on to Bob Kraft.
Not good.
I didn't see any of it. Stand up. It's like, whoa, that's, you know, over there, dude.
Was it Edelman who said too many Patriots here? The next time I thought I was going to see you was at his funeral?
Yes, was it Edelman?
Oh, great.
Edelman was great.
He was good.
Of the Patriots.
He went like that.
So I think that if I'm going to rank the athletes that gave up and did their little portions of the roast, I think Julian Edelman's at the top for me personally. And then I think Drew Bledsoe. And then Gronk. Then
not good.
Then Tom Brady, like, way down.
Where are you putting Randy Moss?
Oh, way more down than that. Randy Moss was so bad. And again, like, he's not a comedian. He's not doing this. And
yeah,
so,
but at least he could talk. Bob Kraft was so altered.
Okay, you're not talking. When you say altered, you're saying he was just
hammered.
We have a piece of sound if we want to play.
Yes.
It's on your screen if you want to play.
We have, let's see here. Where's Bob
Robert
Kraft?
Yeah.
There you go.
I want to say this is the greatest coach in the history of the game that did what no one else has done. And having Tom Brady in him was the greatest honor the good Lord gave me. So,
to Jack Daniels.
Drink it. A black man made that happen.
He gets pulled over. He's like, what's the problem? I suffer.
You know how, I don't know about you guys, but when I'm around the corner, like Bob Kraft is right there, you tend to over-enunciate things like, he's the greatest coach of all time. Yeah, okay.
It's pretty good.
It was aggressive.
Well, there, sorry, dude. What were they about the whole Tom Brady roast? So Jeff Ross has a seemingly harmless joke at the expense of Robert Kraft in regards to the massage parlor.
You didn't believe that.
I don't. But also, it's a bad look. So let me tell you, if you didn't see it, here's what happened. So Jeff Ross does a joke about the massage parlor. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady, after the joke, goes, don't say that S again. Close to the mic, enough that people can hear it. It was a little off on timing-wise. I think Jeff Ross was waiting for Tom Brady to come up because they clearly rehearsed this. And Tom Brady was not quick enough because he's not a performer. And so it was a little off on timing. Regardless, it's a weird thing to have a, quote, statement about. If you're going to, even if you rehearsed it, even if it was fake, Who cares if you say a Bob Kraft masseuse joke? They're going to say about everything.
If you walk into that room.
Yeah, that's impossible. If he's there in a room full of comedians, that's not going to come up, then you don't know.
If you walk into that room, you get what you get.
Yeah.
Even if you don't. Even if you're Aaron Hernandez.
Well, he was unavailable.
Yes.
What are you going to do? Factor Cap is coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Slee, my prize picks are starting to look pretty good.
Okay.
Told you I went big on...
You're a long-term guy.
I am a long-term guy in the home run department. Shohei has got me in a pretty good spot. Your man Juan Soto is doing me pretty solid as well. That's prize picks. You pick between 2 and 6 players. You choose more or less on their statistical projections. You can pick something for the season. You can pick something for just tonight's game against the Marlins if you're a Dodger fan. 2 to 6 guys, more or less, you can win up to 25 times your money at prize picks.
All right, you go MLB. Let me do some NBA. Western Conference semifinals. Anthony Edwards of the Minnesota Timberwolves, more or less than 29.5 points. I think I'm going to go more on that one. Jamal Murray, more or less than 22.5 points. The point of this is you don't have to just watch your team. You can watch any team in the NBA. Of course, we're in the heart of the playoffs. I made my first $10 deposit, received an instant $10 bonus. You could do that as well, of course, by using Prize Picks. Download the app today. Use the code 710 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code 710 on Prize Picks for a deposit match of up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hey, guys.
Aloha.
You know Aloha. The reason why the roast of Tom Brady was so funny to me? It's because it was doing what I say to myself every single day when I see that man's face. You know, when he just does not go away. Everything was great. I love the takedown of Tom Brady because I think that it was deserved. But also, they also acknowledged, like, yes, you're the GOAT. You're the greatest of all time.
How do you think he'll do on TV?
Sorry?
How do you think he'll do on TV?
If last night was an indication, poorly.
I think he'll be... Because I can't... Saying I think he'll be disappointing, I already don't have high hopes. You know what I'm saying? So I think he'll just be like, oh, okay, hey, it's Tom Brady. But I don't think I'm going to walk away from a game either way saying, wow, that's unbelievable.
Isn't that a loss, though, for him?
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Well, it's a loss also for... I think about what they're going to pay him or what they are paying
him. Oh, my gosh, like $35 million a year. Yeah. It's bananas. Sorry.
Yeah, it's interesting because his like reputation won't necessarily be like besmirched or whatever. We know who he is. Like we know his legacy. His legacy is on the field. But I don't know if he's going to be a John Madden where his next stage is as good as his first stage. All right, so today is the Met Gala today. So it's going to be an exciting day for those like me who follow on Twitter and you know just see all the different outfits that people wear. I'm always really interested in the theme this year is the Garden of Time, okay? So, let's put yourself in a situation. Anna Wintour emails both of you directly. Says, hello, this is me, I'm Anna Wintour. That's how she talks, I'm sure. She says, I would like to extend an invitation to both of you to come to the Met Gala. In that case, you'd have everything would be paid for. Stylist, you know, your room and board, everything. Everything is paid for. All you have to do is show up, wear whatever the stylist puts on you, which could be crazy,
yep.
And walk the red carpet and go to be that cool party that is no one really knows what happens there. So if you got invited to the Met Gala, you would go. Trav, fact or cap?
Fact. A 1,000% fact. There's no downside to go. Like you're talking about, all the economic limitations have been removed and I may or may not have to wear a goofy outfit. I don't care. You know, like it, like I wouldn't choose the goofy outfit for myself to buy, or, but if you're just telling me come to a crazy party with a bunch of these famous people and you maybe have to wear a Dumb and Dumber tuxedo, I don't care, right? I am in. I love stories. I love parties, and that's both.
Al?
Fact. If you told me to go to it, like I think experiencing something for the first time, you've never experienced it, is what draws my attention to it. I'll give you just a... Did you ever go to an ESPYs, or you didn't go?
I've never been.
Okay, when...
I did the red carpet, but I've never attended the event. Okay.
When I was on the partnership side, we would take clients to the ESPYs, right? It was here in LA. It was kind of cool. You had different clients that flew in from all across the country, or you had local people. Went to it once. I'm like, oh my God, this is like the coolest thing ever. And the second time I went, I was like, that was pretty cool, right? But I got to experience it. I don't need to go every year. Yeah. I just need to go once. Something like this, I go once, I think that'd be a great experience.
Yeah, I'm with Alan on this one. It's one of those things where I didn't want to go to prom. You know, when I was growing up, when I was graduating high school, I didn't want to go to prom. I didn't want to go to none of these things. I got invited to different quinceañeras and stuff like that where I can dress up and stuff. I would always say no. But the Met Gala, just seeing those outfits. It wasn't Lady Gaga where she wore that all meat?
Meat
was it,
one?
Was it, I don't think that was,
that was something else.
I think
else.
Those were the VMAs.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. But whatever. You know, you're going to wear crazy stuff like that. Eh, why not? If it's paid for, it's free. Get, you know, a nice haircut or whatever.
Yeah.
Just go. Yeah.
Let's do it.
For me,
the
right?
Garden of Time. Let's see what people wear tonight.
Fig leaves.
Yeah, probably. All right, so.
Loquats.
Yesterday, I decided that yesterday was the day I'm going to just try new movies, okay? So I watched both the first original Mad Max from 1976.
The Mel Gibson one?
Yes.
Okay.
Or 1979, maybe. So I watched that one. And then I watched The Matrix. Because I was like, everybody's been asking me to watch The Matrix. It's something I haven't watched. I know I'm going to like. And so I gave it
a
shot.
Did you like them both?
Yeah. So Mad Max, I like know that it's going to get better. Like, yeah. I know that it's like, this is just the exposition. I thought it was interesting. I liked Matrix better. And I think I really liked The Matrix. I mean, it was great for its time. But it got me thinking. The Matrix came out in 1999, and 1999 might be quite possibly the greatest year in movie history. So let me just tell you some of the movies that came out in 1999. Fight Club, The Matrix, Office Space, The Sixth Sense, Eyes Wide Shut, Oof. Phantom Menace, The Blair Witch Project, Iron Giant, Notting Hill, Election, Talented Mr. Ripley, 10 Things I Hate About You, The Toy Story 2, The Mummy.
Wow.
So many great movies came out in 1999. Some terrible movies that honestly won Oscars that no one cares about anymore. But... 1999 is the greatest year in movies. Al, fact or cap?
I'll say fact because I don't know what to compare it to, but those are all really, really good movies. Sixth Sense, you know, there's a couple that you threw out there that I was a big fan of. Office Space.
Mm-hmm.
It's a classic, classic movie. You said Toy Story 2, I think, was on that list as well.
Blair Witch Project.
Blair Witch Project. We talked about, what are they, remaking it or something along those lines. I don't have a list of the other ones in other years, but that's as good as it gets. I'll go fact on that.
Trev?
Cap, here's why.
Top Gun's
1999 is the only year for about a 10-year span where Jennifer Connelly did not appear in a movie.
What?
If you go back to 96, Mulholland Falls, 96, Far Harbor, 97, Inventing the Abbots, 98, Dark City, 2000, Walking Dead, Requiem for a Dream, Pollock in 2000, A Beautiful Mind, where she won an Oscar in 2001. You've got her debut and career opportunities in 1991. 99 is the only year that Jennifer Connelly did not have a movie come out, so it cannot possibly have been the best year for movies.
Mic drop.
Every year, whether or not Jennifer Connelly had a movie, whether or not
it's good because it's literally the only year in like an 18-year window where she does not have one.
Was she having a kid or something?
I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Jorge?
Fact. I think I watched most of these in the movie theater, mm-hmm. except for...
Especially that time.
And except for Office Space. Out of all those you mentioned, I think Office Space is the only one I didn't watch. But yeah, The Matrix. The Iron Giant. I recently watched that with Maite. That movie does rock.
Also, one quick thing about this year, too. So, three big movies, The Matrix, Fight Club, and Office Space, are all almost dealing with the same subject of people in dead-end jobs, in cubicles, and how those characters are dealing with their version of reality, mm-hmm. and like the break from reality. And I think it also has to do with a lot of like Y2K fear mixed with our fear of AI and computers and stuff. And again, The Matrix, that's your perfect world, Al. The AI take over and then we all get eliminated. So,
well, you get to take the red pill, I think, and just chill out in the goo and let the lady in the red dress go by. It's not all bad. That seems okay to me.
Are there still a lot of offices still with the cube world? Did we get out of that? I started seeing them kind of, you know, they'll take out, I was in a cube world for years, right? Yeah. They started taking out that top, the
open
separator.
Concept.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an open concept. I'm like, well, that seems like you could breathe fresh air.
You remember when those old movies had the green little lamp for like secretaries?
Oh, yeah.
The green lamp. I wonder if those, you know, those.
That was like, ones. I was that with the little, and the green visor for like accountants. Yeah. I'm like, that, I wanted to be an accountant just to wear the visor. That looked awesome. What other job has a hat?
Oh my
it's amazing.
Gosh. All right, so let me go to this one. So a list was put out by a podcast, a movie podcast I listen to. It's called The Big Picture. And I love listening to them. They are very funny because I think one of the hosts is very similar to me, Amanda Dobbins. I think her and I serve similar functions in the shows that we host. But they had as the number one, they ranked the 35 under 35 movie stars. Okay? Their number one overall movie star they put as Margot Robbie. Okay, so Margot Robbie is the biggest movie star in the world. Jorge, factor cap. I guess this is under 35, so it doesn't count Tom Cruise and stuff, but
yeah.
The how statement is that.
How old is she?
Probably
she's
right
34,
about that.
I think,
oh,
or 33.
She's just under. Yeah, she was in, what, Suicide Squad?
She was.
Yes. She's in that movie Focus with Will Smith, which I
Wolf of Wall Street.
Barbie.
Wall Street, Barbie. Yo, oh, my God, yeah.
Big Short.
Yeah, fact.
Yeah.
All right, Trav?
I'm struggling to put it to you this way. I'm going to say cap, but for a not because I have a better answer, but because if you would have said to me, who's the biggest movie star under 35, I don't think I would have landed on Margot Robbie. Not that she's not talented and beautiful and been in all these other things. She's all of those things, but I just don't think of her like that. I can't tell you somebody bigger at the moment just because I don't go to a lot of movies. I don't know, but she wouldn't have been the first name that pops into my head, so I'm going cap.
Al?
I'll go cap. Wouldn't it be, what's the gal from Dune, Zendaya?
Yeah.
Isn't she, wouldn't right now, Tangled. Wouldn't she be the biggest because of Dune, because of, now I don't even know the name of the
Challengers.
Movie.
Challengers. Oh my gosh, did you
see? Cap. I go because of her.
Did you watch SNL this week?
I did.
Did you see the kind of Challengers?
Yes, I did.
Good.
Do I need to see the movie to have made that funny?
Not good?
It was not a great sketch.
Okay. No. I'm watching and thinking, okay, I don't get this because I hadn't seen
it
Challengers.
Was very much like you had to have watched the movie to get a lot of those references.
Okay.
But in general, I don't think it was that funny.
Okay.
But
anyway.
Okay, so it's funny that you put that there, Al, because their top three, they were debating about for a long time. And number three was Zendaya. Number two was Timothée Chalamet. And then number one was Margot Robbie. Timothée Chalamet, like their knock on him and that, is that he just relies on IP. Anyway. Inside baseball, but I think it's interesting. All right.
Do you think she is?
Zendaya?
Or who would you say is the...
I would think Timmy. Timothy okay. Chalamet.
Timmy?
Yeah.
Wow.
Timmy.
Yeah, Timmy.
They're on that sort of list about Timmy. Wow.
Okay. It is George Clooney's birthday, so happy birthday, George Clooney. The Ocean's movies are the best version of George Clooney. Traff after cap.
Fact, and not because they're artistic. Like George Clooney makes really interesting movies. He's made a lot of really interesting things, and I don't know if the Oceans series are particularly interesting. They're super fun, and they're cool to look at because they're visually pleasing. But what makes that movie such a great thing for him is George Clooney's essence is ridiculously handsome and charming.
Yeah.
That's what he is. He's one of those guys you look at. If he like, I don't know what that guy does, but I know he's good
is
at
it.
Is
he the number one hall pass for most women out there?
Probably, right? I mean, he's really, really crazy, classically handsome, and he's charming. He's funny. Like when you see him on a talk show, he makes you laugh. He's not pretty. You're not threatened from him like as a man. Like you'd want to hang out with him. You want to go ride on those motorcycles he rides. Like everything about him is just chill and cool and funny. So yeah, I think that and that and those movies kind of capture that essence to him. So I think fact.
He's almost synonymous with attractiveness. When you say like you're trying to say, he's just
Brad
he's
Pitt, George Clooney. Those two always come up.
Al?
I think it's fact as well, but what are there other movies you're putting up that you think are better than like I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. What is another
Michael Clayton?
Michael Clayton's the one that jumps to mind.
Oh brother, where art thou? Or for art thou?
Up in the air.
Coen Brothers movie.
Up in the air. Up in the air is kind of interesting. It's kind of deeply depressing. Up in the air.
I really liked him in The Descendants, and that's his older version of George Clooney.
Yeah.
You'd also say ER. You know,
yeah. Oh, that's time. When Susan's like, "Ooh, what's going on over there?"
He's her Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah, well, it's a good choice. I'm not gonna knock her choice. He's a good choice.
Okay, so I think based off of all that, I think it is fact. It is Ocean's 11 because it's not that those movies, but his version in Ocean's 11 is the I think the Ocean's movies
and him and Brad Pitt. You know, they're both just those super hot guys in that movie that make you want to see it. Jorge.
No, I'm with the guys. Yeah, he's especially Soderbergh. The way he does those films is great.
Also, one more thing too. If you are like me and you like the Met Gala and you like heist movies, Ocean's 8. I loved Ocean's 8. That's the all female one with Sandra Bullock, Cate Blanchett, Awkwafina, Rihanna, Helena Bonham Carter. I love that movie, and no one can ever tell me that it sucks.
You said Sandra Bullock.
Yes.
He didn't hear anything after that.
I didn't need to hear anything else after that. I'm sure it's wonderful and. I didn't hear a Ocean's single name 8. After that. Ocean's 8. Walker Buehler on the mound tonight, Dodger Stadium, first time in a couple of years. What are the expectations? That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
All right, we got breaking news from Pizza Hut. Now, we always got breaking news. There's so many different great deals right now on pizza. You got the Big New Yorker. We've talked about the $7 Deal Lovers menu. But right now, any medium pizza with any of your favorite toppings is just $12. So think about this. Any recipe, any toppings, any medium for just $12. All you got to do is order right now on the Pizza Hut app or at pizza.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I may have spoken too soon when you asked me if I would go in Factor Capital. When I'm asked this, if we'd go, if we got like airfare and hotel and free stylists and all those things. Somebody, Coconut Michael, just sent us a screen grab of a couple of different photos. I may like to change my answer to hell no, because they're fairly terrifying.
I thought you were going to wear these at the Mandy's.
Speaking of, I already got two outfits. Kind of,
you do
two outfits. Yeah,
you're not going to go with your jacket.
No, that was a thing. Just one.
Can't
I guess.
Be an outfit repeater.
Exactly. Come on.
You'd be great at that.
That's the one. So, Em, do you want to kind of describe these different outfits?
I don't even know if you can describe them.
So the first one is kind of like a button up, like full dress button up, mesh. With like little floral accents, and the guy's also wearing like pioneer shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Basically,
bedazzled
so one guy.
Pioneer shoes.
Bedazzled pioneer shoes. That's one. The other one is Jared Leto, and he's wearing red like head to toe gown.
Wait, you forgot to say the see through part of the first.
it was mesh see through.
Oh, yeah.
So see through everything. He's wearing white boxers. It looks like.
Uh-huh.
So Jared Leto is the next page, and he has this red gown head to toe, with like adorned and like almost like a chandelier type,
almost like a Victorian.
Yep.
Kind of theme.
Like jewels.
Yeah.
Holding a version of his own head in his arms. Okay, so that's the other one. Then there's one where a guy is wearing shorts and like not knee socks, but like high ankle socks. And he has a mask on his head that looks like it could be used in a certain situation.
Yep.
And just a kind of a shorter jacket. So that's that one with a bow tie.
He looks like the most terrifying waiter you've ever seen in your entire life.
Yes. Yes, exactly. A waiter at a club.
Yes.
And then the next one is...
At a club, indeed.
At a specific kind of club. The last one is Lil Nas X, and he's completely head to toe in chrome with high heels and a Speedo, also chrome. And then his face is adorned with like jewels as well, almost like a chandelier kind of jewels on his face. And so I think, honestly, Travis, you should wear that one.
Silver. I thought it was flour just thrown at him.
If in order, I would go Leto first, the long Victorian, you know, choking thing with my severed head in my arm. Second choice is terrifying waiter. Third choice is the see-through boxer kind of gowny thing.
Yep.
And last...
Why is that your fourth?
Because I don't have the physique that Lil Nas X has.
Could you walk in heels?
Yeah, probably.
Up the there's a lot of stairs.
I'm not saying that I'd be good at it, but I think I could survive without a broken leg.
That'd be
but
awesome
a broken
if you were great
ego
at it.
Would be destroyed for the rest okay. of my life. Yeah, that's really, really upsetting.
He looks like he's high fashion. He's
fine. It looks good on him that
both
I'd
couture.
Have to put that on. What does that mean? High fashion?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. Walker Buehler tonight, Slee. 2 years, hasn't pitched, was one of the greats of his era. We'll see what it looks like tonight. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what they get of him. Not necessarily tonight. He's kind of easing his way back in. But let's kind of fast forward to, I don't know, end of July, mid-August, to where you've had May, June, July, August. You know, you got three and a half months of information. If he's good, if he's anything like he used to be, forget it. It's like finding another ace. But what if it's just kind of mid? What if it's less than mid? What if, you know what, two arm surgeries is a little bit too much. He struggles with command. He struggles with his velocity is down. He's down in the low 90s. So kind of everything's on the table at this point.
Yeah, it's such a kind of fascinating storyline with the Dodgers. We spent so much time talking about Glasnow. We spent so much time talking about Yamamoto. We spent so much time talking about Shohei Ohtani. Teoscar Hernandez off mm-hmm. to a great start. Dodgers winning games. They sweep the Atlanta Braves. Oh, yeah. Walker Buehler is about to make his – been 23 months
yeah.
since he's been on the mound for the Dodgers. And I think what's not fair to Walker Buehler, what's not fair is that last name. Because you're just accustomed to this dude going out on the mound and being as filthy as any pitcher out there. And that's almost going to work against him. Because people are just going to – you're going to watch the game tonight. I'll watch the game tonight, and we'll be looking. There's going to be, I think, the what Walker Buehler used to be and what the reality of today is. It's really, really difficult to figure out what the reality of today is. But I would just give this man an opportunity. He's going to need a few starts. He's going to need a few months. He's going to need time to just figure out – I'm sure there's a lot of it too that's psychological. Of there was when he was at his best, there's this competitiveness that came with Walker Buehler. There's this I'm going right after this guy that came with Walker Buehler. The bigger the stage, the more comfortable you felt of giving him the
no
ball.
Doubt.
And it's two Tommy John surgeries. We don't know, you know, what kind of person he's going to be. I think the good thing is for the Dodgers is they're not depending on him. I
no.
don't think they're looking at, you know, Walker Buehler and saying, hey, this guy's going to come in. I actually look at it more, I feel like he's a, if they end up getting a reliable third starter, which is not, you know, think about third starters for a lot of teams. Okay, that's somebody that, whatever that ERA is, whatever that record is, but there are a lot of nights that I feel good about this guy having the ball. Isn't that... Does it feel like that would be the best case scenario at that?
If he slides into
the
he's their third best guy, but he gives them a chance to win way more than he doesn't, that's the dream scenario, right? Because I want to go back to what you said. There, you said they're not depending on him. I don't know about that. I wonder. You might be right, but I just think that that was one of those. We've got the free agent in Yamamoto. We made the trade for Glasnow. We've got those two boxes checked. But everything beyond that was a big question mark. Miller was a question mark coming back for his second year. Sheehan, same thing. Kershaw going through rehab. Dustin May going through rehab. That all of these guys. Paxton was kind of a, yeah, we'll see what we get and we'll kind of go from there. Gavin Stone was a, yeah, it didn't look great his rookie year. There's a whole bunch of questions. You can't have a miss. One or two of those guys is going to have to pitch pretty well, or you're going to have to go into the trade market and figure it out. And of all of those guys that I just mentioned, I think the best bet to come back as close to the best
the
version of himself is
at the right time
is Buehler, because he's relatively young. He was that good. You know he's going to do all the work, all these other things. Like, May's always all kind of all over the place. Kershaw's just been around the block so many times. Who knows what that's going to look like? Bobby Miller, super unexperienced. Inexperienced, I should say. That Buehler was the best bet to be like, okay, we can at least count on him. And if he's not, it puts way more pressure on everybody else. And if he is, then it's like, all right, we're on to something super, super high level, because usually two aces in a short series is enough to make you feel really good. If you've got a third guy that is maybe all-star caliber good, that's a totally different thing.
Let me throw this back on you, because I'm curious. You said that hypothetically, there is some, we're depending on him if he could be that third player. Realistically, what do you expect over the next couple of months?
Yeah.
And I think that answer, wouldn't that then tell you that they're hoping for the best, but they also understand he could very well just not be, you know, and I don't even want to say not be Walker Buehler
anymore.
Do you think
if they could sign up for a B right now, you're not going to get a Walker Buehler, unavailable. We take a B minus right now. Do you jump on? I think so too.
In a heartbeat.
I think so too.
Especially because, and you tell me what happens here. They're so all in, right? Like this.
Can you be more? Yeah.
I can. Do you know what more all in is?
Hit me.
Walker Buehler's not what they were hoping he was going to be. And you come towards the trade deadline and they're going out to go try to find another starter. Because I think Buehler's going to do one of two things for them. Buehler's going to allow them to say, we feel really good about our 3-4 guys. Even if Bobby Miller is, you know, there's also kind of an expectation on him, even though it's a little bit all over the place. He can have a really, really good outing. You can give up some runs, but that comes with a young pitcher. I think the question mark with Walker Buehler is going to, the question that's going to be answered is, in a month and a half from now, are you saying, let's focus somewhere else than another starter?
That's what we're looking at.
Or we got to go get another starter.
I think they get one anyway.
They might.
I think they might just say, all right, oh, he's back. Cool. Go. Who's the best guy available? Let's go get him. I don't think they can push more in.
They'll keep going all in.
Exactly.
They will.
There's no point where it's like, guys, we got to stop. I don't think, for the first time in a long time, I think there is not a prospect that they won't flip, a deal that they won't make. It's like,
if it can get you hardware. They're going to go get the hardware.
Let's go. All of this, of course, you can find on the Blue Review. It is your first place for real Dodgers talk each weekday. Corporate Greg, Marcus Grant, Parker Bell have Blue Review. Weekday mornings at 9:30 on the ESPN LA YouTube channel. The Blue Review presented by LAX, where change is in the air. Speaking of change, Clippers going to make a change. The Lakers have already made at least one change with more to come. What do you do if you're the Clippers, who are exactly where they've been for half a decade now? That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.